Welcome to another Carlo and Laidlaw Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin. Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year to you and all the listeners.
Yeah, all of our listeners. Happy New Year to all of you.
All of them.
All three of you.
How many? Oh, come on. Okay.
Your wife, my wife.
Yeah.
There must be some random listener.
Oh, there must be. What about Mitch and a few of his cohorts?
Well, when Mitch is on, he listens, of course. No doubt about that.
You know, I can't believe him sometimes. I ask him how many times he listens to our show, and he says he listens every morning. I said, how can you listen every morning? Obviously, he listens to his own shows.
And over and over again.
He's trying to get 7 interviews so he can play a different one every day.
And just keep them on repeat.
Yes. No, Mitch is a good lad.
He is a good boy. Now, in the break, I was watching a bit of YouTube. You know I'm a Formula One fan. Anyway, of course, Lewis Hamilton, last season, 220 season, equaled Michael Schumacher's record of 7 world championships. And so I was doing a bit of looking at his, you know, when did he start? I thought, when did he start as a driver? And anyway, I came across all this stuff between him and Nico Rosberg. And they grew up together. They were in the karting world together. Very different families, very different backgrounds. Nico Rosberg got into Formula One earlier, and Lewis Hamilton came in later but had more success. And they both found themselves in Mercedes Formula One team. And they had some really ding-dong battles. And what became was a friendship became, of course, they were teammates but then competitors. And then, of course, they were so competitive that they sort of lost that ability to be friends. But anyway, Rosberg won the 2016 World Championships and then promptly retired. And I thought his dad, Keke Rosberg, also won the Formula One World Championship. And so it got me thinking, father, son, world champions, like in terms of, because you think, you know, how does this go from father being the best in the world to the son being the best in the world? And so it got me thinking about that topic, and I did a bit of research. And in Formula One, again, do you remember Damon Hill, English driver? Well, he won it in 1996, and his dad won 2 world championships in the 1960s. So 2 times in Formula One, there's been father and son.
World champions,
which I thought was pretty interesting and maybe pretty rare.
Well, you know, there's a lot of father-son combinations in a lot of sports, but I suppose when you sort of look at the top level, it's quite rare. It's, you know, especially world champions. I'm sure I've heard of them in equestrian events. There's a famous family that have passed down the gauntlet and they continually win titles, and even the royal family, there's been a lot of success there with equestrian events. But on a local level with football and in my sport, baseball, there's some very interesting tales.
Well, the footy one, and I started thinking a bit locally, and the first thing that popped in my mind was the Ablett family.
Yep.
I mean, I know football doesn't have world championships as such, but if you think the very, very best, surely the Ablett father-son combination would have to be up there.
Well, you look at Gary Ablett Sr., they used to call him God, that he was that good. He's, besides many, many other attributes, he won the medal for best on ground in the grand final back in 1989. His team Geelong lost to Hawthorn by 7 points, but he kicked something like 9 goals and was an absolute superstar. He was just a freak the way he played.
It'd be pretty rare for someone in the runner-up team to win the Norm Smith. Three or four times
it's happened. Okay. It's not very often. And then when you look at his son, Gary, when he came along, everyone was saying how good he's going to be. He'll be as good as his dad. Well, quite frankly, I think he was actually better than his dad. He won a Brownlow medal.
Well, he did achieve that, and playing in different position too. Like it seems... if you're playing in front of the umpire in that sort of midfield position, you've got a better chance of – and full forwards certainly get a lot of limelight, but I don't think they always get the credit because they're doing – it's a different type of job, isn't it?
It is, but then full forward back in Gary Ablett's time was a very glamorous type position, and it's sort of like he could get 10 kicks in a game, kick 6 or 7 goals and get best player, whereas – playing in the centre, you'd have to be performing sort of like virtually for, you know, 80 percent of the game at your top to get in the best player. So, yeah, there's pros and cons about the different positions.
So what else did you find in your research? Because we said let's have a chat about this and see what we can dig up. And I know, you know, you're the historian and the researcher amongst us both.
So. Well, there was a sad tale about Hayden Button Sr. Now, he was a very good footballer. He won 3 Sandover medals, which is in Western Australia, playing for Subiaco. He won them in 1938, 39 and 41. But previous to that, he played in Victoria for Fitzroy and he won the Brownlow medal in 1931, 32 and 35. So 6 medals at the top level. He actually did have an association here in South Australia. He coached, well, he actually played some games in 1945 for Port Adelaide, but he coached North Adelaide in 1947 to 49. But unfortunately, he got killed in a car accident 11 kilometres north of Gawler. It was very sad. So, you know, you'd think to yourself, what a champion guy he was. He would probably be how we look at Barry Robbin here in South Australia. That's probably the equivalent in Western Australia at an earlier stage. Now, his son obviously played in his shadow, but his son played for Swan Districts and won the Sandover medal in 1962. And he actually came here, coached South Adelaide and Sturt, but never really had any great success. But that was one that sort of come to mind straight away when we're talking about football father sons. But you know, I got to thinking about it, and the 3 absolute champion coaches in South Australian National Football League history. I mean, Roy Laird's getting up there. Roy Laird's got 7 premierships, but Jack Odie, he won 10 flags, mainly with Sturt. He had 3 with Norwood and 7 with Sturt, including 5 in a row from 66. And he's got the Jack Odie medal named in his honour for the best on the grand final in the SNFL. His son, Robert Odie, he coached Norwood in the early 70s, late 60s, but he went to Sturt and played in a premiership team with Sturt under his father. So that's one interesting father-son connection. And then you look at Foss Williams, who sort of was about the same time as Jack. He had 9 premierships with Port Adelaide, and he was looked on as one of the best ever coaches because he was often the state coach, and the best player in the state game is named in his honour as Foss Williams Medal. Now, Foss had 3 sons, Mark and Anthony, who were twins, and Stephen. Unfortunately, Anthony passed away in an accident, but Mark went on to coach Port Power to their premiership in 2004 and also played in a premiership team with Port Adelaide Magpies. And Stephen, he coached the Magpies to a couple of premierships, obviously played in a couple as well. So there's a very good father-son connection. Now, the one guy up there is Jack Cale, who's really got
famous Port Adelaide name.
10 premierships. His son, Darren Cale, obviously didn't play football. He was more into tennis. He was on the professional circuit. And nowadays he's better known as a tennis coach and analysis with ESPN. But he coached Leighton Hewitt, who won the 2001 US Open with Cale as his coach. And Andre Agassi won the Australian Open in 2003 while being coached by Cale. So that's a pretty good father-son connection.
It's a good connection. And there's some famous SA names there, Odie, Williams and Cale.
Yeah, I went to the top, mate. I looked at them all and I thought about Roy, who would be the 4th on the list of great coaches. His sons aren't quite old enough yet to see what they're going
to
do.
We'll have to come back in 15 years' time and chat again.
Yeah, let's hope they have some success.
Now, before you get into baseball, because I know you're going to get into baseball, aren't you?
Well, that's what I know.
Now, what would you say in Australian motor racing would be the biggest event?
Well,
it's held in every year.
Bathurst.
There you go, Bathurst.
Bingo.
Bathurst is like the big race, isn't it?
Yep.
And so it got me because, again, there's been some Larry Perkins, his son, Larry Perkins won Bathurst, his son races but hasn't won. Alan Moffat, his son races but hasn't won. But Jim Richards, now Jim Richards has won Bathurst 7 times, New Zealand driver. He won his first 3 Bathursts with Peter Brock. So everyone, of course, knows Peter Brock, Brocky, the king of the mountain. But Of course, Jim Richards was his co-driver and was a very good driver in his own right, but obviously helped Brock get at least three of his wins at Bathurst, nine of them in total. So Jim Richards went on to win seven Bathurst races right through to 1998. And then his son, Stephen Richards, has won Bathurst now five times.
Wow.
And so, and he actually, his first win was the year after his dad won his last one.
Wow.
And so you think, if you look at the history of that race, saying, well, that's the great race, and people just, it's such a difficult race because it's 1,000 kilometres, tough track, you know, racing all day, so many things can go wrong. But in one family, they've got 12 wins between them. And that's pretty incredible, isn't it?
Oh, it is. Maybe they'll have to name the winner's trophy after them.
Well, they might. It's currently the Peter Brock Trophy, so it'd be very hard to take that away. Craig Lowndes, of course, has won it now, I think, eight times. So maybe down the track they might change it. But right now it's certainly Peter Brock is king of the mountain. But you've got to think Jim Richards, Steve Richards, they're right up there. They're probably runners-up.
All right. Now, I'll just talk a little bit about pace. We'll try to keep it fairly brief, but there's a lot of father-son type combinations that have played Major League Baseball, but only one father-son combination has actually played in the same game together, and that was Ken Griffey and Ken Griffey Jr. Now, Ken Griffey was very famous in the 1970s playing with the Big Red Machine, Cincinnati Reds, which won the 75 and 76 World Series. He was a pretty good player in his own right. And his son sort of started coming along in the late 80s and was playing for Seattle. Now, right at the end of Ken Sr.'s career, he went to Seattle and they played together in the same game. And when they played together in 1990, Ken Griffey Sr. was 40 years old and Ken Griffey Jr. was 20 years old. So that to me, that was an amazing feat at the time. And, of course, Ken Griffey Jr. sort of is one of those instant Hall of Fame candidates. He was such a great player. Now, I also wanted to mention about one guy. His name was Cole Yastrzemski, who played for Boston his whole career. He's a Hall of Famer. And he was the last player in Major League Baseball to hit for the Triple Crown in the 20th century. He did it in 1967, which is won the batting, the runs batted in, and home runs. And he didn't really have a son that played, but over the last couple of years there's been a Mike Yastrzemski that's been playing. And I checked it out. It's actually his grandson.
Wow. So skipped a generation.
Yeah, which was absolutely amazing. And in some recent research, I was looking at 1923. Freemason Ramblers won the grand final, won the premiership, and
that's here in Adelaide.
Here in Adelaide, yeah.
Freemason Ramblers,
yeah. They played Norwood, and Roo Ewers, who was famous for going, he was one of two South Australians with Sid Smith, who went across to America in 1897 with an Australian team. Roo Ewers got the hit to walk off with the winning run. He batted the winning run in that particular game. The winning pitcher was his son, Claude. Now, Roo was 56 years old when he hit it. Now, that's a fairly amazing tale. And Roo was one of four brothers that were pitching regular in the baseball scene, but they normally played for different clubs because they were just too good to play together. Now, we spoke about Sid Smith. Well, Sid Smith obviously played state baseball in the 1896 and went away with the Australian team. His son Don played state baseball in the mid-20s. Now Sid's daughter's son, Colin Worth, played state baseball in the 50s, 1950s.
So that's three.
Yeah. Now Colin's brother Alan, his son, William, played junior state baseball with a guy called Simon Maslin, who was Colin Worth's grandson. So it's a bit twisted, but you can see that it's five generations from Sid Smith, which I'm just
amazing.
It just blew me away. No, it's right up my alley, mate. I love it. But anyway.
So next time.
Yep.
Mother and daughters.
Mother and daughters.
We'll do some research here where we can dig up mother and daughter champions or competed in the same sport and had great achievement. We'll see what we can dig up.
Well, it will be a little bit harder because obviously women's sport hasn't been publicised as well historically. So we'll just have to...
I know there's a couple of rally champions in Australia.
Yeah?
There's a starting point, yeah.
Well, that's good.
Mother's Daughter rally champions. They've won it five times. So there's a starting point.
I'll have to check out some tennis and some running and some softball. They tend to be the major sort of sports. I remember Vicky Hoffman was a great squash player. I'm not sure if she had a parent or a child that sort of played the game, but we'll just have to do a bit of research, mate.
Exactly. We're on it.
So ends another Carlin Laid Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
Sean Carlin.